Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 1st of July, recording at 9:20 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first let's have a quick look at the week, and what a week it's been. Stock markets, very powerful. Really persistent rallies, which had begun last week and continued into today with into this week with a real force, a real gusto, and mostly closed out on a strong note. We had in Asia, we had the Malaysian and Indonesian markets extending their upward break. It looks like the Philippines are going to follow that lead very quickly. India, which had been up very sharply, saw a little bit of profit taking here today. China was firm where it was open. Hong Kong and the H-share indices were not open. Going against the trend, Australia had a tiny decline, but that had a big gain yesterday. In Europe, more strength. gains of up to 1.6% for Italy and 1.28% for Spain. So that just shows that there's just largely a more relaxed attitude following the latest papering over of the Greek crisis. In the Americas, so Wall Street very strong here again today, up 1.44% on the S&P, up 1.5% on the NASDAQ Composite. Brazil, which has been an underperformer, serial underperformer, was up 1.59% and has bounced from that 60,000 level on the Bovespa Index. Long-dated government bonds, prices have been slashed, yields are up pretty much every day of the week. And that continued today, although U.S. Treasuries closed off their lows as they did, and these are bond futures, off their lows as they did yesterday as well. But it's been a consecutive day decline. Now, looking elsewhere, the U.S. dollar, U.S. dollar index, I see, is down a fraction here today, but it's had a good gain against the Swiss franc for the second consecutive day. It is up a bit against the yen. The commodity currencies have been star performers, and this week in Australia is back up to 107.8. The Canadian dollar index is down to 95.9585, and good gain by the Canadian dollar against the yen. That's looks like an important upward break. Grains and beans, they've been weak. And corn, which was limit down yesterday, had an extended limit today, bigger limit, fell down to it at 5.75. I remember this was at $8 not that long ago, before closing 21 points higher at 5.96, but that was still down almost 24 cents on the day. Only soybeans bucked the trend. Now, precious metals, they've caught some profit taking, and that continued again today. Gold closed at 14.85 and 88 cents. It had been down as low as 14.78. Silver closed out. We may be still getting some after-hours trading, and it's currently at 33.87. platinum coming down a little bit, 1720. Copper has gone the other way, considerably stronger, 431. That's up 3 in here today. Crude oil bounced earlier on. It's been quiet over the last couple of days. We're up over 111 on the Brent, and the WTI is at 94.70. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of perceptions, which so often shift really on just need a catalyst to change people's perceptions. But you can remember how pessimistic people were a couple of weeks ago, and some of that was reflected in some of the emails that that we had received. But it was particularly aired in the on the television channels and in the press. But note the linkages, because they're all related. For instance, safe havens, Swiss franc, it's been down all week. Bonds, down all week. Gold, certainly down and going to a new reaction low. Staple foods, down very sharply. Equities, in contrast, we had equities up. And we've also had the U.S. dollar up a bit. In terms of technical action overall, and in thinking of our scenarios that we've outlined, the best case, of course, being a lot of the important markets, such as the U.S. and the S&P, and the German DAX, would see mean reversion corrections to their medium-term trends represented by the rising 200-day moving averages. And that's exactly what we've seen. Best-case scenario, we would see the ASEAN stock markets begin to break out to the upside and sustain those gains. That's what we've seen so far. The rallies that we have seen from oversold conditions, one expects sharp rallies from time to time, and then that is a characteristic of a bear market. If you think back to 2008, we do not regard what we've seen recently as a bear market. It's been described constantly as a corrective phase, although our worst case scenario, which was a minority risk from the beginning and including 2 weeks ago, but our worst case scenario was that we would have something that resembled a shallow bear market, so a bigger correction, much the way 2010 saw a pretty big correction from April to June, if we're talking about the growth economies, and from April to the end of August for the rest. So this action has gone a long way to increasing the odds in favor of our best case scenario as opposed to the worst case, or just some other type of muddle through. But I have to say that with a degree of caution, though, because we still have some We have 2-3 months of seasonal underperformance here to contend with, and what would make me nervous would be if we were to see the thing that would most worry me would be if we were to see crude oil spike higher in here. I don't think that should happen on fundamental grounds, but it could easily happen on sentiment grounds. I hope it doesn't, and I'm not forecasting that it will. But that's if you're looking for a risk, forget Greece for the time being. Look at crude oil, because that's the one that really could change situations around, change the situation around very, very quickly. Needless to say, if we get crude oil and other commodities quiescent to lower, that's going to be good news here overall. And they may have come down enough to cause countries such as India and China to signal that their period of monetary tightening, progressive tightening, incremental tightening, is either close to an end or already at an end as inflationary pressures subside somewhat. So the technical action of Fuller Money Themes is, for the most part, extremely good. And I've reviewed my top 10 long-term investment portfolio in here today. My goodness, it takes me a long time to do it. But, I've done it. Now just to tidy up the rest of my comment of the day before I post it. But back to these, outlooks. My contention all along was that we were in a corrective phase, that it would set the stage for strong markets by fourth quarter 2011, and possibly sooner. Well, the strong bounce that we've seen technically has put an interesting floor under the market, and potentially important floor under the market. Now, whatever your concerns, and there are going to be some big bears out there, or there are people who may just want to be bullish but feel fearful. Well, as I've said in earlier audios this week, you can relax as long as the June reaction lows hold. I think the June reaction lows will hold for the vast majority of stock market indices. If I'm wrong, then we're in a different game and have to reassess, and so will you. But as long as they hold, the dynamics were sufficiently impressive that we should give the benefit of the doubt to those June lows. In other words, we should expect them to hold. And further confirmation, as we go into a reaction, when this rally runs out of momentum and gets a reaction, if indices hold most or approximately half of their gains from the June lows and consolidate and then resume the rally, that will be very powerful evidence reaffirming support from those lows. So this is an interesting time in here, and to repeat myself, I like the performance of the Fuller Money Themes. Okay, long-dated government bond prices. They had a big rally, and self-feeding, momentum rally. I'm sure Mr. Bernanke was helping them along the way. And it looks well and truly over. I think June records for the bond yields a higher low. For the low, we have to go right back to the end of 2008 for U.S. Treasuries. And then we had in 2010, we had another important low, which was somewhat higher. And now we've had another, I believe, important low, which is somewhat higher. And I expect these bond yields to range higher. On a very short-term basis, stock market indices have gone from oversold readings to very short-term overbought readings. So we may have some pause and digestion of this move next week. That wouldn't surprise me. I don't think we'll get anything big to the downside, though. Ditto bond yields. They may see a little pause, possible pause, small pullback, but I don't think we'll see anything too big on the downside. So for the bond futures, that would mean small technical rallies, but not threatening the June rally highs before they head lower. Overall, the big picture is one of base building, type 3, that's churning time and size, base building, for the long-dated government bond yields as they bottom out and support build prior to a bear market defined as yields that range higher over time. And that is in response to and a natural follow-on from what was a 28 to 30, depending on which bond market you're looking at, a bull market in long-dated government bonds characterized by falling yields. So, interesting there. Bond yields aren't anywhere near high enough to pose a threat to stock markets at this stage. It's rather the opposite. You get some money flowing from the bonds to equities, just as we had some money flowing from equities to bonds up to about a couple of weeks ago. Less than a couple of weeks ago. Okay. What else to mention? Gold. I have to confess I'm pleased to see this softening. It's not all that much, gold was getting close to its, was it its May high? Not too long ago. And really what I was hoping for and had reason to believe that we might well see, certainly if the consistency was pattern was maintained, is that gold would consolidate, see some mean reversion towards its rising 200-day moving average during this period of seasonal underperformance. And then what would really be interesting and a big profit opportunity would be if it showed signs, it would be hitting a low sometime in July and August, and perhaps retesting that prior to showing some very clear-cut strength and probably a new high in September. That would be consistent with a remarkable tendency for this to happen, with the biggest moves to the upside commencing in September of the odd numbered years, 2001, 2003, 2005, 7, 9, and 2011, we'll see. But we seem to be on schedule to do that. Platinum's interesting. They're all interesting. I don't think silver, Owen and I don't think silver will be the leader of the next move on the upside. It's probably going to be gold with platinum and possibly palladium taking up some very strong running. And I would think that one of those two, probably platinum, would get the best overall percentage performance if we get a repeat of that very strong fourth quarter of the year for precious metals and also golds. As I'm also looking for strength in stock markets during that period, that may well push some commodity prices upwards, and that might lead to another correction in 2012, but that's a long way off at this stage. Let's take it a week at a time, a day at a time. Okay, what else to mention? The USDA really did pull the plug on corn yesterday. My hunch is that, and I noticed they were, of course, talking about plantings, and it's the harvest that counts, and the weight of the kernels that actually count at the end of the day. And I wouldn't be surprised if we get a meaningful rally in corn following 2 days limit down before the end of this before the end of this year. What else say though? But overall, I'm hoping that the weather improvement is sufficiently good to enable global reserves of staple foods to increase. That would be good. And I don't think high inflation is in any investor's long-term interests. And to the inflation that we've forecast all along is commodity inflation. It's something that will come back periodically. I would expect it to come back at some point in 2012. And the only thing that would prevent that would be a global recession, which I don't think is on the cards. But if I'm wrong about that, what will cause the global recession would be another spike in crude oil prices, almost certainly, of known factors. It's not going to be Greece, or other European sovereign debt problems. Those are serious. They have can create global shock waves, but it's containable. Muddle through problem for the most part. Okay, currencies. Well, the dollar is a cheap currency. It's no longer a safe haven. It's also a begging bowl currency, as one very experienced subscriber described it to me as several years ago, along with sterling and the US dollar, begging bowl currencies. Well, they're indebted, highly indebted countries. That makes it difficult for them to get more than decent technical rallies at best, which will happen periodically. We're overdue for one, and it may have actually begun. And the Swiss franc, with some animal spirits returning to the stock markets, I would expect to see some more selling in the Swiss franc over the short to medium term. The currencies we like most on a long-term basis are the Asian growth currencies and the resources currencies, and some of those are one and the same. And I think that's pretty much it. Absolutely fascinating. And gosh, well, let's just have a great weekend. And oh, and I wish American subscribers a happy 4th of July weekend. I know your markets are closed then, but ours are open, and I will be writing comment and also doing the audio on Monday. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.